Hi there, and welcome to this computerweekly.com podcast on ransomware and storage. And with me today, I have Chris McKee, who is a solutions specialist with NetApp. So, hi there, Chris.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. We're talking about storage and ransomware today. And the first question I wanted to ask you, Chris, is what does ransomware do that impacts the data storage? And here I'm talking about the various ways in which it infiltrates and the effects it has thereafter, such as encryption, such as exfiltration, etc. But over to you anyway.
So ransomware can almost cripple storage completely, because that is the target at the end of the day with ransomware attacks. I mean, you've already said that there is encryption and exfiltration. So usually, an attacker will get access to a company or an organization network, and one of the first things once they've found the way around is they will look to exfiltrate the data. So they will copy off as much important data as they can, because at that point then they already have sort of a bargaining chip to say to a company, if you do not pay us the ransom, we will release these records onto the dark web for sale or into the public domain, where however they're going to do that. So there's usually a two-pronged attack, and then also, as well as having access to the data, they will then try and encrypt all of the data on the data storage. And at that point then, unless your organization can cope with having no digital sort of ability to function, you're going to be in a bad way. You probably can't operate whatever services that your business offers out, because everything needs data. A user or an application, even if what they're accessing directly doesn't have much data, that will probably have a dependency on something further down the line, a database or a data lake. So at some point it's going to need to access that data. If that data is encrypted and the attacker, the ransomware gang, have the encryption key and only they have it, you're not in a good place.
Thanks, Chris. And the next question, which leads on nicely from that, is what features can storage vendors build in that combats ransomware? Over to you again.
I'd say that there's a few sort of key features. The first one is detection. So, spotting something happening at the storage layer. As we've already said, if data is being encrypted, can that be spotted? Can you say, right, I can see that the encryption levels on this storage area have started creeping up? Or are we seeing new file types appearing that we've never seen before with, strange file extensions? So you can do that on the data layer. That's a brilliant way of saying, I think there's some ransomware happening. We can see all of a sudden this volume of data has gone from 2% encryption to 14% encryption. Now, going a step beyond that, then you probably want to pin, you probably ideally at the storage layer, you want to pin that encryption or that attack onto an area. So, for instance, if you've got a volume and the encryption starts flying up, that's really good information. And a company can act on that then and look to sort of put steps in place to restore the data and so on. But, where did that attack come in from? Where did it come from? And that's where user and entity behavioral analytics, so UEBA, I think that's the another step that a storage vendors can include. And I think it's almost vital, because if I have access to a small percentage of the storage, let's say you've got 100 terabytes of data and I actually only have access to, I don't know, 1% or less, I can go and encrypt a lot of data for me, but the storage as a whole, that 100 terabytes is only going to see a very, very small increase in encryption. However, if something is monitoring my behavior as Chris McKean, then although as a proportion as the total storage, it's a very small percentage. For me, it's a massive uptick, and that's a potential flag to say, what is Chris McKean doing? Has his account been compromised? We can see it's all of a sudden copying off lots of data, encrypting lots of data. So that UEBA piece, as well as just looking at general encryption and file types and things like that, they're some of the things that storage vendors can do to sort of spot attacks happening. Now, that's great, spotting it attacking attacks happening. That's brilliant. But also, you do need to do stuff at the protect function as well. So, you know, that it's great if you can spot an attack, but it's even better if you can stop it happening in the first place. So that's where standard things like, you know, RBAC and zero trust sort of approach, giving people access to only what they need, things like that come in. Other things storage vendors can do is it's not just users' laptops and devices that are going to be doing the encryption, or they're going to be the infected devices. You know, it could be a compromised user account. You see all the time, lots of users' accounts get compromised. So you could introduce a feature maybe like multi-admin verification, where you cannot perform certain destructive commands on storage without someone else approving it.
Thanks, Chris. And the final question is, what are the limitations to what storage vendors can do? In other words, what part of the overall strategy against ransomware can storage fulfill? Over to you again.
So the limitations, obviously, is it's just at the storage layer. Now, that layer is as vital as any other layer. Having protection and detection at the storage layer is as important as having it on somebody's laptop or something, you know, running at the edge of the network. But obviously, that is it, just one layer. So the storage layer can't stop someone's device being infected by malware because they've clicked a phishing link. But that's not to say that you can't do lots and lots at the storage layer to hopefully be that last line of defense. Should someone have got right through the network and then have access to the storage, if your storage can stop attacks or spot attacks, then, you know, that's vital. But also, you should also always have a way to lock in certain amounts of data. So, you know, it's about that assuming breach part of the zero trust architecture. There should be a way on storage to say, okay, we're going to take a copy of this data and we're going to lock it away for 2 months, 5 years, however long that is. And that way, even if all those other steps, the protection measures that you've put in place, if they're all breached, you know you have a copy of data that is good from, you know, 5 weeks ago, 5 months, a year, so on. So I think, yes, that there is limitations, and it's basically that it's just at the storage layer. However, there can still be a lot that you can do at that storage layer that could potentially be a real saving grace for a company that has had their networking infected by malware.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris. So what I take from that is storage, in a sense, is like a backstop. Would you agree with that?
I always think of it as like the football keeper in a football team. You know, if you get past the attackers and dribble through the the midfield, and, you know, even if you get past the defense, you've got that last line of defense. You've got that goalkeeper that's stopping the attacker getting access to the thing that they really want access to, because it's with the data that an attacker can, you know, that's how they can best monetize an attack.
Excellent. Great analogy, Chris. So that's the end of the podcast. So thanks very much for that. So this has been a computerweekly.com podcast. Please check out the storage pages on computerweekly.com for more content of this kind. Thanks very much, Chris. Bye then.